But we've also got some who have come our way, and we're glad that you were here, and we hope that you choose to make this your home for the next few semesters. And we also want you to know that if there's anything that we can do for you while you are here to make your life easier, we can't do your homework for you, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best to make you comfortable while you're in school, and we want you to be part of our family here at Cary. And again, we are so thrilled that you are here. As I like to mention often before my sermons, if you're visiting with us today, and this is perhaps your first time worshiping with the Lord's church and certainly the body here, if there's anything that you hear today that you question or that you would like further explanation or answers or perhaps even the way that we worship, we want to answer those questions for you and with you, but we only do it with the Bible. And we're willing to open up God's Word that we can show you why we do what we do and why we enjoy what we do for the Lord. I love military history. More so, I love ancient military history. And if you know anything about the nation or the city of Sparta, when you think about their warriors, these men were bred to fight. That was their sole purpose in life. So much so that when a boy was born, that he was brought before the council of elders in the city of Sparta. And the elders would then examine the child. First, they would take the boy and they would dip him in a bath of wine because they believed that if there were any impurities within this child, the child would convulse and die. If that child passed that stage, they would then begin to inspect the child and check its body and its health and its breathing and all of these other things. But if the child was not found to pass the inspection of the elders, they would take the child to a specific mountain and they would leave the boy there to die. But if the child did pass the inspection of the council of the elders, they would take that child and the child would go home with the parents for 7 years. And once the child was then at the age of 7, the child was then brought to the agora, which was the fighting place in the city of Sparta, where the child would be nurtured from the age of 7 until they were 18 years old by another child that was 18 years old. And they were bred during this time to fight. That was the whole purpose of which they were there, was to learn how to fight their enemies. At the age of 20, they were then allowed to join the Spartan army, and they were to live in the barracks and the city of Sparta until the age of 30. At the age of 30, they were then allowed to marry and live off on their own, but yet they were still soldiers within the Spartan army. At the age of 60, they were then allowed to finally retire, but they were still considered reserves, as the men would go off to fight. Those that were of retirement age would stay back with the women to protect the city. One note of interest is that the city of Sparta was one of the only cities in ancient Greece that did not have a wall built around it. And the reason being was they said that their men were their wall. Their men were their defense, as they would form and form what was called the phalanx. They believed to want to be one of the strongest defenses in all of the nations at that time. They believed that nobody could defeat them. Their sole purpose in life was to fight their enemies. Brethren, believe it or not, if you look throughout the pages of the New Testament, we too are bred to fight. When you think about the spiritual battle that's being waged within the world in which we live today, when you think about the New Testament wording that we read about in the Bible, you think about 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul is telling Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, to stand as we read about in Ephesians chapter 6. So when you think about us as Christians and the spiritual warring that we go into every single day, there are things first that we've got to remember to do as we go out into the world. So today I want us to look specifically as we spend our time in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 this morning. And I want us to read it together before we get into our sermon. Because there are some things I think that we can note that Paul talks about here that we need to understand is how we should be and why we should then be dressed for battle in the world that we're living in today. Because certainly it's a difficult time. When you look at the book of Ephesians, during this time, it was written to a faithful church. Later, Jesus would refer to in the book of Revelation that they would be an elusive church because they had lost their first love. But the time in which Paul is writing this particular book, as he's writing to the faithful church in Ephesus, as he's talking about this, he tells them to be strong, to endure, to be dynamic within themselves, to fight the good fight of faith because they are going against the adversary. When you look at the word adversary, diabolos in the Greek simply means that. God, when you think about who we're fighting and God is putting us against when He's dressing us for battle, is that we're fighting our adversary, the devil. But God doesn't send us ill or unprepared into the world to fight the spiritual battle against our adversary without giving us all the things that we need to make sure that we're prepared to fight him. The problem is that many times what we see is that God prepares us, we just don't pick up the armor and put it on. God is not going to send us into the world without the things that we need to fight with. When I was in the military, the first thing that they would give you when you checked into your unit was what we called 782 gear. And all that meant was a form that you would fill out. But they would give you all of your field gear that you would need. They would assign you your M16 rifle, which would stay in the armory. And for flight crew, we were also assigned a 9mm. So whenever we would leave to go to whatever training, or if we were in a particular area, at the time it was Bosnia when I was in, we would take all of that gear with us, to take our weapons with us to go prepare to fight wherever God or wherever we were going to be sent by our country. We didn't leave ill-prepared or unprepared, and the Marine Corps made sure that we had everything we needed to be prepared to fight. They trained us all of that time until that time was to come. But every now and then you had some guys who weren't very prepared, and we would get to a particular place, and maybe perhaps their NCOs didn't check their gear, they would forget some things. Didn't fare too well for those individuals that forgot things. And they would be running around, can I borrow this, can I have that? And we'd say, no. This is for me, this is what I need to prepare to make sure that I can fight this fight that we're about to enter into. I'm not going to give you my gear because this gear was specifically assigned to me. Just as God gives us the armor, of the panoply, of which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, that He assigns to me that I've got to put on, this is for my spiritual battle against the adversary of which we're going to fight and go against every single day concerning the temptation that He wants to throw in our paths. But I've got to take and train myself to be better prepared to fight that which or the enemy of which I'm going to go against. So there's this internal dynamic at work that I've got to understand that God has given me through His Word that helps me to better prepare myself to make sure that I'm dressed for battle. You see, when I think about the Bible and when I think about what it tells us, when you think about that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that's the dynamic that's working within inside of me of the power that I receive because of the studying that I do in dressing myself for battle, that I'm prepared to fight the good fight of faith that Timothy was told to fight. But I've got to be willing to stand and to fight. So if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, and as I like to say, I'm just going to crunch your smartphones and your tablets together and call them your smart tabs. So if you've got that, to pull up Ephesians chapter 6, and let's read together Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 as we get into our sermon this morning. Beginning in verse 10, Paul, again writing to the church at Ephesus, writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate rather of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all of the perseverance and supplication for all the saints." When you think about what Paul is talking about here, the two things that we want to talk about today is first the enemy with which we're in a fight against. And when you think about the adversary, who is the diabolos, who the devil is, he's exactly that. He's the enemy that we're going to fight. And as you pay attention to a few words, and I have these words underlined in my Bible because it helps me to remember what God is providing for me, but at the same time it helps me understand there's something that I've got to do, that I've got to be able to withstand, that I've got to be willing to stand, and I've got to have the strength and the power because I want to stand for the Lord. So when you think about the word able that's provided for us here, it refers to the same word that you think about as strength in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. So for me to be able to stand, I've got to have the strength of God. And when I understand what Ephesians tells me, that I can do all things through Christ, that strengthens me because I'm allowing Him to have the power over me in my life, that I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And when we think about our adversary who's walking about like a roaring lion, 1 Peter chapter 5, looking to devour anybody that stands in his way. When you think about Job in the very beginning, as Job comes into the presence of God and before the angels, what does God ask him? Job, or devil, what have you been up to? Oh, walking to and fro, basically looking for somebody that I can trip up. And because the devil is out there, God is giving us the things by which we can stand firm in this life, that we can use the strength that we gain from Christ because of the dynamic relationship that I have. But let me stop. You see, I cannot fight the devil if I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I cannot fight the devil if I don't allow Christ to rule in me. You see, what I need to understand, brethren, is people in this world are not my enemy. If you're a Republican, brethren, Democrats are not your enemy. If you're a Republican, brethren, the Democrats are not your enemy, or vice versa. Politics are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. But we allow those things to trip us up in this world. I might fight what you believe in relation to your moral political standards, but I don't fight you because I fight the enemy. The devil is the enemy that I'm going against in this world, and the devil's the one that's throwing those tripping things in our past that we not might continue to walk in the path of righteousness. Think about what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3. My brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing that I do is that I stand firm in knowing that my prize is going to be in heaven. And I press toward the calling of the prize in Christ Jesus, knowing because I've stood firm that I have the strength and I'm able to stand because of what God provides me. I fight the enemy, and the enemy is the devil in the world. We don't fight each other. But the devil wants us to fight each other. The devil doesn't want us to be united. Paul addressed this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, that you speak the same thing, that you what? Talk and do and practice those things that God has given you, that you be standing together firm in Jesus Christ. So the first thing I have to understand before I fight is know who I'm fighting. And too many times we spend so much time in the world fighting everybody else instead of fighting that which Satan is putting in our paths. You see, I fight the devil, brethren. I don't fight you. I might fight your concepts. I might fight your principles. I might even fight your politics if they walk contrary to what God says. But I don't fight you. You're not my enemy. I don't hate anybody in this world. I hate what people stand for, but I don't hate them individually. I hate anybody who stands against the cause of Christ, but if I also understand what Jesus said, do I not also have to love my enemies also? But we struggle with that. I understand that. That's a difficult thing to grab sometimes, to wrap our head around somebody that's wanting to kill us or do us harm because of who we stand for and what we believe. Yet didn't Jesus stand firm as he went to the cross of Calvary for those that wanted to kill him based upon what he believed? But yet, what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They truly don't understand why I'm doing this. Brethren, it's our job to explain to the world when we fight the devil in this world today, why we fight the devil in this world today. People need to know why we understand that Jesus went to the cross, that He died, whether you're good or bad. For God so loved the world, right? That's the world. That's not a specific few or racial divides or whatever ethnic situations you want to put yourself into. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So when I think about what Jesus did, brethren, the enemy is the devil. That's the one who causes the divide. That's the one who pushes us in opposite directions of each other. But we can't blame it on God. But you see, when we fall short of the glory of God, as we read about in Romans chapter 3 and also Romans chapter 6, it's because of our own doing, because we have not prepared ourselves to stand strong in the Word of God, that we're able to provide that which God is giving us through the strength and the armor that He's telling us to put on. So if I go to battle in this world and I'm drawn away, as James talks about, of my own temptation and my own lust because of my own desires, is that God's fault? No. It's probably my fault because I haven't taken that which God has given me to put on. So the enemy that we fight, brethren, isn't each other, and it's not even people in the world that don't perhaps agree with what we believe. It's the devil. And we have to understand it's the devil who operates today. We fight the devil with the Word. Even as we read in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus talking to the devil himself as he's trying to tempt the Son of God, Jesus said, "As it is written." Jesus was focusing on the Word, and the Word was going to guide him. The same thing that we have to do today. When you think about the devil, I fight the devil, I don't fight you. And keeping that in mind, I have to keep my heart proper. But as I keep reading, it tells me to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 4 talks about deceitful plotting. The devil has a way of thinking, and the way the devil thinks is the way that the devil wants me to think. Isn't that what the world does today in trying to put things in our paths, in our minds, to get us to pick up and think the way it thinks? But you see, I've got to be different in my thinking. I've got to think separately, and I've got to be separated and apart, because I understand what the Word does for me. It justifies me just if I had never sinned, John 17:17. And because it justifies me and sets me apart, I've got to be righteous and holy in my thinking, pure and completely different from the way the world thinks today. That's why in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, it talks about us being not ignorant of the thoughts or the ways of the devil. So one of the first things I have to do, believe it or not, is I have to know my enemy. I have to know who the devil is. I have to know who's standing in my path of my way to heaven and where I want to be. Because if I don't know him, then I can't be prepared to fight him. And the Bible tells me exactly who I'm up against. So I've got to know what this book tells me and how it's going to direct my paths in righteousness. Satan is the one who tempts us with the earthly desires of which we yield to. So because I know the enemy that I'm fighting, I also know that I have to understand the panoply by which we fight. Just as we sang a few moments ago, that's my suit of armor that I'm going to put on that God is providing me to fight the devil with. But here's the thing, just as those things were issued to us when I was in the military, unless you use them, they did you no good. You can bring your Kevlar vest and your helmet and your rifle and all of the things that they would provide for us to go into battle with, but if you didn't use them, you were sitting duck. And you were saying, "Hey, look at me, go ahead and take me out of the picture now." Because I'm not going to use anything that I've been trained to do or fight to use of the supplies of which you've given me to fight. So as we read in Ephesians chapter 6 in the latter part that we've been looking at, God provides the armor by which we're going to go into battle with. I learn with the armor of God that I have some things, and I learn that I'm to take those things, and all of those things, brethren, are part of the armor of God. I can't take some of those things. I've got to take all of the things that God has given me as I dress for battle in the world in which we live today. I learned that I'm to put this armor on, and I am to never, ever take it off once I become a Christian. Why? Because we don't stop being Christians when we leave here on Sunday mornings. We don't stop being Christians through the rest of the week. We don't get home and take off our cloak of Christianity and call it good on Monday morning, because we are Christians all the time. And the life that we live today, we live because of who Jesus Christ is. Didn't Paul write something about that in Galatians 2 and verse 20? "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." So because I'm living for Christ, because I have a relationship with Christ, and because I want to work and be a servant for Christ, don't I have to be prepared to fight for Christ too? Aren't you ready to go to battle for what Jesus did for you at Calvary? So when you think about Ephesians chapter 6 and the panoply by which we fight, it says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God." Pick it up and put it on. God has given it to you and it's laying at your feet that you may be able to stand and have the dynamic or to stand your ground that God is making you capable of doing. When you think about the phalanx in which the Spartan warriors would put themselves together and they would interlock their arms and their shields in such a way that nothing was able to penetrate that particular wall that they were going up against. This was a human wall. This wasn't built of rock or stone or wood or anything else. These were human beings that were standing their ground because they believed in what they were fighting for. And they were willing to die for the cause in which they were going to fight. We too, as the Bible says, must be willing to stand firm on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to pick up the armor that God has given to us and to put it on and keep it on. Because as soon as you take it off, brethren, you make yourself vulnerable to the ways of the world and to the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 4:25 says that we speak the truth as God's children because we speak with integrity. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, it tells us to be right with God. Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm strong in the Lord because I seek the ways of the Lord as I dress myself for battle. I'm right with
Welcome
God.
Welcome to B&H Videos.
And the Bible
videos.
Tells me that I've got to practice
that you're working
righteousness.
In.
Shotgun, just as like soldiers prepare to go into battle, brethren, I've got
like
to practice
detail,
righteousness
the
that prepares me for when I go
the
into the world to
and
fight
the
evil things in
together,
this world.
Multiple audios.
But it
to
requires
the audio
perseverance,
polls vary
and it requires dedication, and it requires
in.
Diligence that we
shotgun
talked about last week
are used
as we looked
primarily
at 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9
or in
those
really
Christian
wide shots.
All of those things are to be added as I put on the armor which
indoors,
God has given me to fight the war because it makes me complete as a Christian soldier
less
in Christ.
That bounce off of the walls
we also
of the
sang
room,
a few moments ago,
they give you a more
what,
natural
Christian
sound.
Soldiers are we to
when
arise, to stand up, to be ready
outdoors,
to fight the good
it's
fight
very
of faith.
Important to have good wind
God
protection.
Is calling us to enlist in His army.
Are
you ready
to
serve
noise.
Him?
And without this
because
protection,
the armor's been
the
given
audio
to
you
us.
Capture will be
in verse 15 it says
useless.
Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel
use,
of peace
you can use a softie
here's the good
but
news
for complete protection
the message
from the
that
wind,
results
you
in
should
peace.
Use a blimp system
when you think
the
about Romans chapter 5
and
verse 1 having been justified by faith
mixer.
We have
the
peace with God
mixer
through our Lord
are being
Jesus
used
Christ
by wireless microphones.
We are justified because we are children and we are set apart because we are the sons of God
the microphone
when you think about 1 John 3 and verse 1
the receiver
what greater love God
microphone
hath bestowed upon us that we should be called
the
children
the subject
of God.
Wears the transmitter on their body.
And the blessing
the
in and of itself is that God is not
bag,
going to send His
its
children
into
the world into
the input
unprepared.
On the field mixer. It might seem redundant
but
to put
brethren,
a wireless
we've got
microphone
to take
on
that
your
which
subject
God gives us,
and
brethren,
to use
we've
a
got
boom
to take
on them
seriously.
As well. But in field production,
as I prepare to fight the devil and engage in that face-to-face combat
this
with the enemy,
if something were to go
and
wrong
as I prepare to fight the battle, I put on the whole armor of God,
static
and I'm never going to take it off.
You will still have the audio
why
covered
would I want
with
to
the boom
make myself
mic.
Vulnerable
this is
to
why
the ways
I keep
of the world.
Non-wireless microphones
why would I
in
give
my
the world
audio
an opportunity
well.
To make
all
me
else
look
fails
bad
with my
because
wireless
of who
kit.
I worship
I have a wired microphone and an XLR cable, so I can still
this is something we have to take seriously in which the world in which we live today.
I've got all of this
because
great
the world
equipment
wants
to
nothing
audio.
To do with what
now
we
I need
believe
to plug it in and
for.
Record it.
That's the devil
I record
talking.
Multiple copies
that's
of
exactly
the audio
who that
as
is.
I work. This way, if
you
one
see,
of the recording
then
devices
I take upon
has a
all
technical
those
problem,
that God gives me.
The
also
other copy
have to take
of the
some
audio
things
will
with
cover me.
Me. And above all
I
things, taking the shield of faith
by sending the audio
with which
out of my mixer
you will be able
into two devices
to
at once,
all the fiery darts
my portable field
of the
recorder
wicked one.
And the video camera.
John 14,
my mixer
1 says,
has
you believe in God, believe also
for this
in me.
Task.
This I have to pick up my faith
into the input
in
on
God
my field
and know
recorder.
That He sent Jesus
XLR
Christ to die on the cross of Calvary so that I could fight the good fight of
I
faith.
Use a very specific
so I've got
kind
to
of
have a foundation upon which I'm going to stand firm to put my armor on.
This cable is called a breakaway cable. It's sometimes referred to as a snake.
You see, if you weren't prepared to place those things on
the breakaway
you that God
cable
is providing,
into the main outputs of my mixer, and I plug the mini plug jack into the return.
That comes by individual
I plug
training,
the
that
other
comes
end
with
of the breakaway cable
that comes
into the
with you wanting to add those things to
cable.
Your faith. Verse 17
then
says,
I plug
I'm
the
to
mini
take
plug
the helmet
jack into the headphone input on the video
here,
camera.
Here, I
this
am
is what allows
one.
Me to monitor the audio
the
being recorded
one.
Into the video
I
camera
have to fight
remotely
the temptation,
from my mixer.
Knowing I'm the saved one.
The camera
and I'm
operator
not going
can
to yield
still
to the
plug in their own set of headphones and listen to the audio
the
in the camera
one.
As well. It's called
the
breakaway cable because
one,
it has
brethren,
this mechanism that allows me to quickly
and
detach the
stand
snake from the camera without having to unplug all of the connectors.
But here's
this
the
allows
thing, we
the
also
camera
understand.
Operator to move
we
their
can't
equipment
do it alone.
Without being tethered
I think
to the
Army
operator.
Has a slogan
it may seem
something
like
concerning
detail,
the Army of One,
the
that is, it's not individual
really
soldiers, it's the entire Army collectively.
All of
right?
the equipment
because
in my audio bag operates on batteries,
together.
And some of the equipment is
it's
more
the same thing with us
than
as
others.
Christians in the Lord's Army.
When you're working
we often
long hours
the
on a
VBS
shoot,
song,
it can be very problematic if one set of batteries starts to die
I'm in the Lord's Army, yes sir, right?
He must troubleshoot to determine which device needs fresh batteries and tear open your kit to replace them.
This isn't something
we take
lightly.
This can be very time-consuming and wasteful for the entire production, not to mention bad for the environment. The solution is to use a battery distribution system. When using a battery distribution system, I can power all of the equipment in my bag with one battery. Should the battery start to falter, I can quickly change it out with my backup and one battery.
I always think about it when we sing that song sometimes about
riding a burrito
or a donkey
or something. Putting together an audio kit with good quality equipment isn't cheap, but it's an investment that can potentially pay for itself.
You
want to
know why we're not going to be defeated?
Many people make their living using only this equipment.
You turn to the last part of Revelation, it says we win.
Please call us, visit us online, or come to our superstore in New York City.
We've just got to be willing to continue to fight that faith while we're here on this earth. Remember, there's this dynamic that's working inside of us, and that dynamic is Jesus' prowess and His ability within us, but where is my relationship today with Him? Because if that relationship is not what it needs to be, brethren, I've got a chink in my armor. Because remember, He's your foundation. I think about how Jesus functioned. I remember the one who said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You know what Jesus said? I'm willing to give my life for God, and that's exactly what He did, but He was also willing to give it for us. Jesus said, nobody's coming to the Father unless you come through me first. And if you want access to Him, you've got to do it my way. I remember the one who is the holy and the righteous one. I remember the one who said to have faith in God. And I think about Jesus and every one of those parts of the armor of God come into mind. When I take all of these things that He's given me and I put on these things and I gird up my loins and I prepare myself because I've got the sword of the Spirit, I've got the helmet of salvation, and I'm prepared to fight this battle, I've got everything that pertains to life and godliness that prepares me for the world in which I have to fight today. What did Jesus do while He was among men? 1 John 3:8 says, He was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. When you think about what the disciples write in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, He went about doing good to those who were oppressed by the works of the devil. Brethren, are we ready to fight against the works of the devil? You see, individually we do it, but also collectively we do it as a body of His people. I fight the devil in the temptation. Why? Because I'm trying my best to be most like Him. I want to be like Christ in my life. And God said you can be like Him if you'll act like Him and if you're willing to fight like Him. I know I'm never going to be perfect. I know I'm never going to be sinless like Christ was. I know that I have spots and blemishes. I know I have things that I need to clean up and I need to work on. But I can try every day with what God has provided me concerning the tools of which I'm going to use to fight the enemy that the world is bringing towards me and that the devil wants to knock on my door with. But I'm prepared to fight Him today. Are you? God has given you all the things that you need to complete the mission. Are you willing to serve Him today? Are you in the Lord's army this morning? If you're not, it's simple. You don't even have to enlist. You don't have to sign a contract or anything, but you have to give your life to Him this day as you're baptized in that watery grave. Because what you're telling God is that I'm willing to enter into this covenant relationship based upon what Jesus Christ did for me. And God said, I'll tell you what, if you'll repent of your sins, telling everyone you no longer want to be that way, if you'll confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who died for you, then God will remove all of those sins and He Himself will add you to His church. But you've got to be willing to serve. You want to know why United States of America has one of the greatest militaries in the world is because we're all volunteer. People serve their country because they want to serve their country. People fight for this country and die for this country because they love what it stands for and what it means to be free. You see, we love what the church stands for and we're willing to die for it because it allows us to be free in heaven of sin. Because we get to live eternally with God. Maybe it is that you're here this morning and you are in the Lord's army, but maybe you've gone UA. Maybe you've gone AWOL. Maybe you just left because you don't want to be here anymore. But maybe something is calling you back. Maybe there's a greater cause, something bigger than yourself. Or maybe you just miss the church. We want you to come home, and we want you to know that we've been looking for you. It doesn't go unnoticed. And if you're here today because you've chosen to come home, thank you for being here. We love you and we're thankful that you've come back. But we want you to make it right with God also. We want you to know that when you leave here today, that that weight and that burden is going to be lifted off your shoulders as God is going to forgive you of those sins that you've committed. And we want to embrace you and we want to love you and we want you to know that we're here with you, standing by you every step of the way. And maybe it is the case that you're here today as you're serving the Lord's army, but you're discouraged. Maybe you're beaten down. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe the devil has really got you backed into a corner. Well, I'll tell you what, let us pray with you and let us help you fight him. And if we can do anything for you today, please make it known as together we all stand and as we all sing.
Seated and not say this. Sometimes Hallmark can't best say what needs to be said, but